Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. May you give us, you know, truly what it means to have understanding today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we're still on our Walking with God series, I want to touch on another subject that is dear to my heart. We've talked and touched on it multiple times from time to time, but it is so key to this Walking with God series. And today's lesson is the knowledge of the holy. Is it by education or by revelation? You know, so we're going to be talking about that. You might check out some scriptures that I already posted in the chat room. This will be the basis for our lesson or review today. And we're going to get to it right away. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, we're going to be talking about the knowledge of the holy and this level of understanding. What is it really when it comes to walking with God? You know, what is it? What does it mean? What's the knowledge of the holy? What's the knowledge of the Son of God? What understanding do we get from the knowledge of the holy? It says here the knowledge of the holy, and who is the holy, and what are the holy things of God? You know, how do we get that knowledge? He said, well, when you have it, it's understanding. Well, how do we get understanding? I mean, I quote on this platform just about every day that I get in here. And when I pray, I always quote Job 32 and 8 that says the entrance of his, from Psalm 119. You know, I quote that one that says the entrance of his word gives light and understanding. You know, and you know that Job 32 and 8 is also one of my favorite scriptures that says understanding comes by the inspiration of the Almighty. Well, a few weeks ago, we covered the study of Psalm 119. And the verse, of course, that I quote every day is out of that chapter in verse 130. The entrance of his word gives light and gives understanding. It's simple. Well, understanding, according to Job 32 and 8, is something that comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. Now, putting all of that together, and also we're going to see what it means and how can we get this understanding. There is a lesson or series of parables that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13. Let's consider a part of the first one quickly, the parable of the sower. Why is this important that we have understanding? Well, because Jesus said in this parable of the sower, the seeds that fell by the wayside, you know, were the people that heard the word, he said, but, the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And the way he explained it was because he said, look, you know, for those that hear and do not have understanding, the devil, wicked one, will come and catch the word out of their heart. He said, this is the seed which fell by the wayside. You can read his interpretation of the parable in Matthew 13, starting at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now, that's why also the message of the kingdom is so important. You know, a little digression here. You've heard, those of you who have been here more than 6 months or so, you heard my teaching on the kingdom series. Well, you know, this is a message that's lost today, you know, because you know, people don't really understand it. But, you know, the focus, Jesus's focus was about the kingdom. That's why he called it the word of the kingdom. It's not just some random word. You know, so the word of the kingdom, the message, the gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, according to Matthew 24 and verse 14, shall be preached. Not just some random gospel, not a gospel of prosperity, not a gospel of whatever people are preaching today, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. So if we want to hasten the coming of the Lord, let's be preaching the true gospel of the kingdom. Until that one is preached, other gospels may be being preached, but they are not going to bring the coming of the Lord. What's going to bring the coming of the Lord is this gospel of the kingdom. That's why from time to time I switch back, I drop down and talk about that, because that's so important. Now, when the word of the kingdom is preached, it requires understanding. You know, why? Because we've learned so many mistruths over the years. So when the true word of the kingdom is preached, the true gospel of the kingdom, when anyone hears it and they have not the understanding that we're going to talk about today, then what happens? That devil, the wicked one, Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 19, the wicked one comes because that person has no understanding. Then the wicked one will come and catch away that which was sown in his heart. He received the word already, but because he didn't have any understanding, that devil will come and catch it away. And this is the seed which fell by the wayside. Now, so let's unpack that for a minute. It is so important that we have understanding when we receive the word of the kingdom. Now, there's a couple of different places where Jesus talked about this. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, I posted this scripture already, when he sent the disciples out two by two and they came back and so forth, and rejoiced that the devils and all of that was subject to them. Jesus proceeded to say a few things. One of it was actually very dramatic, what he said, you know. And he said, look, you know, in verse 21 of Luke chapter 10, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Jesus knew that the wise and the prudent, now, the wise and the prudent are those who naturally should have understanding. But Jesus said, no, these things are hidden from them. Well, I mean, if they're hidden from the wise and the prudent, how in the world then are the people that don't have wisdom and are not, you know, endowed with prudence, how are they going to understand? Well, you know, that's a mystery. These things are hidden from the wise and the prudent, well, naturally wise, those who are scholastic, educated, and so forth, hidden from them. And God has revealed them according to the Lord Jesus. The Father has revealed them unto babes. Now, babes are the ones that naturally, we think, have no understanding. As a matter of fact, most of the time when we deal with little children, we treat them as if they don't have understanding. We can't discuss with them things that we think is over their heads, you know. So we just talk to them in baby language and baby speech, you know, or baby speak, that we think that they can understand. Jesus is saying, well, in this spiritual realm, you know, those whom we think are babies, those are actually the ones to whom God reveals some of these deep things of the kingdom. And they are hidden from those who naturally are considered wise and prudent. Now, why? Because so it seemed good in the Father's sight to do so. You know, so now anything that seemed good in the Father's sight to do, you know, nobody can question it. You know, because he is the potter and we are the clay. And if it seemed good to make of the same lump one clay unto, you know, vessel of righteousness, another, you know, of the same lump, a vessel of dishonor, that's up to him. you know, so he can do all these things, and it is for his pleasure. It seemed good in his sight. That's for his pleasure to do as he wants. Gives understanding to some, it blocks the understanding of others. You know, it's all he's doing. Now, if you get understanding, you ought to praise the Lord, because this is thing is not given. You know, and my lesson today is going to be that we can't get this understanding by normal and regular educational channels. That's what I'm talking about today. The kind of walking with God, the kind of wisdom, the kind of light and understanding, the kind of, you know, knowledge of his presence, you know, that comes from walking with God. It's not, you cannot get it in a seminary school or college. You cannot get it by being schooled and taught in the natural way. It comes by the teaching of the Holy Spirit and learning at the feet of Christ. That's how it comes. Now, so that's, you know, that's going to be our topic that we are going to delve into today. Now, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So I quoted it also, you know, out of the, you know, the book of, I mean, I quoted it from two places and I put it in the chat. It's here in the book of Luke, chapter 10, you know, but we also, you know, see it, you know, in the book of Matthew. We see also where Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. You know, so let's talk about that for a minute. You know, why did Jesus say no man knows who the Son is but the Father? Well, but we know who Jesus is, you know, and who, nobody knows who the Father is, but we know who the Father is, you know, but the Son, and the Son is the one that gives the revelation. Now, so let's think about that for a minute. You know, this is not the carnal knowledge. This is not knowing Jesus in the flesh. As a matter of fact, you know, here is the way that Paul put it, you know, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, wherefore, henceforth, that this is verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this place, he's talking about, you know, Christ, you know, because he died for us and so forth like that, that, you know, we also should not live unto ourselves, but we should live for him that died for us and rose again. So he said in verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no more any man after the flesh. Now, there's a knowledge that's after the flesh. And that's the comparison that I want to bring today. There's a knowledge that's after, there's kind of knowledge, you know, natural knowledge or whatever, you know, that's after the flesh. There's a knowledge also that comes from the Spirit, the inspiration of the Almighty. There's a knowledge that comes from Christ revealing to us. There's a knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would teach you all things. The anointing which you have received is no lie. Second, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. This same anointing teaches you all things. There's an anointing that brings teaching and understanding. There is also, you know, a kind of knowledge that we learn by education. Well, our lesson today is to show and to prove by the scriptures that the going after the things of God, which is called the knowledge of the holy, and going after a revelation of who God is or the Godhead or, you know, who Christ is by education, he's not going to cut it. It has to come by revelation. You know, so Jesus, I mean, so Paul is saying here, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him no more. And I put in parentheses, after the flesh. You know, so even the disciples, they knew Jesus after the flesh. They were around with him. They bumped shoulders with him. They sat at meal with him. They knew him after the flesh and so on. You know, just know him. And, you know, but Paul is saying that, look, the real knowledge of Christ is beyond, you know, just physically, just because you saw him as a person, you know, it doesn't really give you an advantage. Which is why sometimes you've heard me say this many times, actually, that being physically present in these rooms or being physically present when someone is preaching the word of God by the Spirit does not give you an advantage just because you're there if you don't engage in the Spirit. You know, so, you know, which leads me to the verse that I quote from time to time. When Jesus was talking to the Jews in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 63, and he said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive or gives understanding. John 6. Oh, sorry. Something said Jesus was the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. I was trying to read that scripture. And my hand accidentally pressed the play button on my U version. All right, so it said, John 6, 63, it said that, look, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. You know, the flesh profits nothing. You know, so just being there physically in the flesh profits nothing. But Jesus went on to say, the words that I speak unto you, now they are spirit and they are life. You know, so, you know, there are some things that we would think should give us an advantage. Well, maybe, but not necessarily all the time. You know, being educated, learning the Greek, learning Aramaic, and learning Hebrew, and learning all these words and so forth, I mean, it may or may not give you an advantage, unless the Holy Spirit blesses it. Now, when the Holy Spirit puts an anointing on your learning, that learning is good. Now, if you're just doing it by the flesh, it may not profit anything, because the letter killeth. It is the Spirit that gives life. You know, so just taking, you know, I mean, when you do it in the Spirit, comparing Scripture to Scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit puts an anointing on it, you get tremendous understanding. But you do it carnally and just going through Scripture, analyzing words and things like that. You know, even Paul warned about all these striving about words without, you know, benefit, looking into genealogies and striving over words and so forth. I've heard people say, well, unless you read the Bible in the Greek and in the Hebrew and this and this, you can't understand, you know, these things. And you can't have any knowledge of God. I'm like, I'm not Greek and I'm not Hebrew. Why do I need to read the Bible in the Hebrew? I'm not Hebrew. Why should I go learn Hebrew in order for God to speak to me? Because you speak to me in the language that I understand. God's not going to make me go learn Hebrew. You know, what kind of God would he be not force me to go learn Hebrew when he knows I don't know Hebrew in order for him to reveal himself to me? That's not the way God works. You know, I don't need to learn the Greek. Some people say, well, you know, you got to learn it. All these, you know, Old Testament were written in this language. The other one was written in that language. Well, you got to learn all those things. You got to put all those things, words together. You got to get the strong concordance and put all these words. I do these things, but this is not the reason and this is not how I get revelation from the Lord. Now, I do those things because Paul says it is good for us and you must do it as a minister of the gospel. Study 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study so you can hold your own, you know, to show yourself approved unto God, you know. Yeah, but, you know, really approved unto God, you know, not necessarily by man, you know, but you can hold your own too, you know. You know the scriptures, you know where you stand and so forth. But that's not really how real revelation comes. Real revelation does not come by learning. Let's take a look at another scripture, which I already posted in the early part of the chat, this today's chat, if you chat room. If you look at the book of Job, chapter 11, this is what we find there. We find, you know, the, you know, it talks about, I'm going to read three verses from Job chapter 11. Let's start from verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you? Well, we are commanded to search. You know, the Lord did say, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. He promised us to search. But this scripture is kind of like bringing it in a way. I mean, is it your searching that's really going to make you find God? A lot of people search, but God doesn't reveal it to them. God reveals it to whomsoever he pleases him to reveal it to. You know, so we must recognize that even though we must do our part in searching, yet it is God that holds the key to revelation. You know, now, can you find God just by searching? I mean, can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? I mean, what is the measure of the knowledge of the Holy? He said, well, it is as high as heaven. You know, then what can you do? It is deeper than hell. I mean, what can you know about God? The measure thereof is larger than the earth and broader than the sea. You know, I always talk about, you know, bring your bucket and take some, you know, thing from the sea. This is, you know, this is, all these scriptures is where I put that all together. You can come, take as much as you want. You won't even make a dent in the sea. You know, that's the knowledge of the Holy. It is so wide, so broad. Whatever you have today is like the contents of a barrel, a bucket, even a tanker versus the depth and breadth of the sea. The depth and breadth of the sea is the knowledge of the holy. What you have today, no matter how much you know, and that's me also, is like a bucket out of the ocean. Now, you know, he says, look, you can't really do it. And but yet he wants us to do it. He wants us to know him. But the scripture says, and this thing is kind of like a paradox. You know, you're supposed to know him, but yet you really can't until he reveals himself. You're supposed to search for him, but you really can't until he reveals himself. I mean, look at, Isaiah 40, you know, how Isaiah also puts it. You know, same kind of thing, you know, talks about, you know, how do we really understand God? You know, how do you know him? You know, how do we figure him out? You can read verses 21 of Isaiah 40 to the end. He said, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has he not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? No, how can I understand when the thing is hid from me? You know, but, you know, there's something about how, you know, the Lord brings these things out. You know, he said, look, verse 28, let me just jump to verse 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, well, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. The understanding of the holy, you can search for it. You're not going to get it unless he reveals it to you. You know, in fact, one time Jesus said, you know, Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, well, I've heard that, you know, people have said that Christ is this and Christ is that and Christ is the other thing. You know, what do you hear that people are saying? You know, he said, well, you know, some of them say that Christ is this and Christ is that. I said, okay, fine. What about you guys? Who do you say that Christ is? Well, you know, everybody kept silent. Well, Peter jumped up and said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, my goodness. This was not given to you by flesh and blood. You did not learn it by education. And this revelation did not come to you by education. There's no way you could have gotten it except that my Father in heaven revealed it to you. And this thing is so pivotal, this revelation of who Christ is, that upon that rock, now that rock is not Peter, but that revelation of who Christ is the corner piece that holds the church together. I'm going to build my church on that revelation. Now, today, many people don't know who Christ is. You know, so if our foundation, if, you know, the corner piece is faulty, then whatever we're building on it is faulty and shaky at best. You know, so for us, you know, to have the true understanding of who the Lord is, it only comes from the Father. No man knows who the Father is, no man knows who the Son is, or vice versa. Now, if they will reveal it, if Christ will reveal it, then he will. If the Father will show it, then he will. You know, so then, who then, you know, one time Jesus was saying all kinds of things, you know, and then the disciples said, well, but who then can be saved? Because, I mean, everything that he was saying, it was like over their heads. It was like, you know, well, I mean, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, with man it is impossible, but now with God. So, you may be hearing me say all these things, that this knowledge is too high for me and so on. How then can we get this knowledge? And the Holy Spirit will have me say to you today, well, with man, it may seem that you can't get it, but not with God. Because God is the one that gives such knowledge. Now, did you know that, you know, all that is being said and being built up in the church and the all of these things, where we are headed, is for us to really know who the Christ is. This is the thing. From the beginning, God said it. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let it become like us, so that it can have dominion. Well, that was lost. We didn't quite get there. Jesus began to say the same things, you know, and we find out, after all said and done, even the apostles begin to say the same thing. I mean, look at the marvelous exposition that Paul gave in the book of Ephesians. When he got to chapter 4 and he was revealing, you know, how that the church is going to come into perfection, He started out, of course, in chapter 1, he talked about the things, the inheritance that we have even before the world began and who we are in Christ. We're no longer aliens and all of that. Now he comes, you know, into this place and begins to say that, look, this is how the church is being. Chapter 2, he talks about us being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and so on. He comes into this place in chapter 4, he tells them, look, you know, the work that, you know, the things that Christ did, how that he went, you know, took captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some, you know, pastors and teachers. I mean, so let's read the purpose of all of these things. And you'll find out that all these things, from Genesis to Revelation and the quest, the walking with God, the all of this, you know, it's all about the knowledge of the holy and the knowledge of the Son of God. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4 from verses 11 through about 13. We see what Paul, by the Spirit, said about the ministry of even the apostles, the prophets, and all these things, what they are supposed to do. He said, look, it is for the perfecting of the saints. It is for the work of the ministry. It is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man. That's what, you know, that's where we're headed. You know, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, so we need to learn God. We need to know Him. But to know Him, even to know Him, is eternal life. The very knowledge of the Holy that we have, you know, produces eternal life in us. You know, but how do we get it when this knowledge is higher than us? 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Give me a second. There's some noise in my background here. Sorry, there's some noise coming from here. I had to close the door. All right. The very knowledge of the Holy produces eternal life in us. Let's see how John puts it in 1 John chapter 5. And he talks about it. He said in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 5. And we know, well, again, it's the knowledge. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Well, this understanding, we can't get it by natural education. But we know that God has given it to us, that we may know Him that is true. This is so key. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God and eternal life. Well, to know Him is to have this eternal life. Now, but, you know, how do we do it then? Well, you know, the way we do it, there is a lesson to be learned in the life of, you know, Martha and Mary, you know, those who were sisters, right? And we know that Jesus kind of, you know, He was close to that family. And occasionally, you know, He would visit them and so on and so forth. You know, and one day, as you know this story, you know, Jesus, He visited, you know, with them in the house. And while He visited, of course, you know, Martha, you know, being the sensitive one, I want to make sure, you know, that the guests are served and so forth. She goes about, you know, doing what she believed should be done. Serve the master and his disciples, you know, get things together, run up and down and do all of these things, you know. And while she's doing it, she notices that her sister, you know, is just sitting down, you know, and not really serving with her. So she says to Christ, well, Master, you know, bid my sister to join me in the serving of the guests. I mean, why is she just sitting down? I'm the only one running around. You can read that story, of course, in Luke chapter 10. And the Lord, you know, said to her, Martha, you know, I like the way that Jesus said it. Martha, Martha, thou art encumbered with so many things, you know, and, you know, it says that in, you know, it said Martha, it said verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, Martha was encumbered with much serving, you know, but Jesus, I mean, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and so on. So Martha now came and said, look, I mean, don't you care that my sister should help me and I'm the one that's doing all this serving alone? Oh, there are some things that Christ doesn't really care too much about, you know, when it is taken in out of concept, you know, or out of context, you know, when there is the, you know, when there is the comparison, when you put it in the balance of running up and down versus, you know, sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know, sitting at the feet of Jesus wins hands down all the time. So Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and wanted to learn some wisdom. Maybe ask about, you know, tell us some of those parables that you're always saying, you know, give us some more insight. I don't know what she was asking, but anyway, she wanted to know more. Martha, on the other hand, run around and so forth, try to figure out, you know, how to serve the people. So the answer to Jesus will give us an insight here. He said, look, you are careful and troubled and cumbered with so many things, Martha, but your sister, you know, has chosen the one needful thing, you know. Now, so, I mean, serving the people is not needful. Are you kidding me? It is, of course. You know, you say we should be hospitable, we should do this and that. But Jesus is saying, look, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, the one thing that's really needful, that's the thing that Mary has chosen. And you can run around, do all these other things. They're good, but not needful. So, you know, how do we get it? Sit at his feet and learn. That's right. Now, the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit himself. You know, which Jesus said it himself. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we're still talking about walking with God. You know, to know him, to know him is to love him. You can't love somebody you don't know. You know, knowing him leads us to loving him. Loving him makes us want to serve him. You know, the more we know him, the more we worship him, the more we want to serve him. You know, all of these things will eventually lead to us to, you know, reign with him. That's a topic that I've done about that months ago. Today, let me just focus on this part. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16 and 13, another one of my favorite verses. You know, he will guide you, he will teach you, he will guide you. The Holy Spirit is the only one that does that. I mean, this subject is illustrated. I mean, this subject of how do we learn it, you know, is illustrated again in the way that Isaiah describes, you know, the sealed book. He said, look, you know, the vision of this is altogether as a book that is sealed. You give it to someone that is knowledgeable, you know, and he says, well, you know, I really can't read the book because it is sealed. Then you turn around and give it to someone that's not knowledgeable. And he said, well, you know, I can't read the book because I don't know letters. I haven't learned. So at the end of the day, you see that both the learned and, well, actually the learned has no advantage over the unlearned because, you know, that's what he says. Let's read it in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11. And the vision of always become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. which men deliver to one that is learned, and this is the one that has the education. Now remember, this topic is the knowledge of the holy. Is it by this kind of education, or is it by revelation? Now, so the one that's educated, let's see if he has an advantage, you know, in the knowledge of the holy. Well, to him, the book is still sealed, which is like Jesus saying, well, the Father has sealed these things and has not revealed them to the learned. So the learned has no advantage. Well, the one, you know, he says, well, you know, if you open the book, I'll read it because I'm learning. Well, you know, they said to him, well, read the book, you know. Figure out how to open it. You're learned after all, aren't you? Well, figure out how to open the book that's sealed. And we say, well, if you open it, I'll read it because I know letters. Well, they said, no, we're not going to open it. You figure out how to open it. So I can't because I can't read it because the book is sealed. Okay, fine. So we take it. And so your learning did not give you advantage. So let's give it to somebody who's not even learned. And that one learned, you know, that one said, what? Are you kidding? You gave it to the learned man. He can't do anything with it. I don't know letters. I have no clue. So both the learning, you know, in the natural, knowing in the flesh, doesn't give anybody any advantage. And let me ask you this way. Do you suppose, I mean, for those people that say you got to learn Greek and Hebrew and Arabic and all these things. Well, you know, do you suppose that, you know, your great-great-great-grandmother or great-great-great-grandfather in the village somewhere, those of us that come from Africa, in the bush that were not learned, do you think they could not have gotten the knowledge of God because they didn't learn letters? Has nothing to do with it. God could have revealed himself to many of them. You know, the kind of education, the kind of learning that we have today, I mean, in the days of Enoch, there was no Bible. You know, there was no Bible, but yet he learned the knowledge of God. And so all many of Bible didn't come until many, many years later. Now, Moses started to write what is called the Torah. God, by revelation, took him back in time and gave him many things. And he wrote many things. And other prophets came along and wrote. And they had the scrolls of the prophets, scrolls of Isaiah, scrolls of Jeremiah, all these things and so forth, Zechariah. They put it all together finally. Many, many years later, in fact, in contemporary times, you know, you can read the history of how the Bible was published. And the one that I like now, which is called King James Version, published by the authority of King James of England around 1611 and so on. You know, before we had all these things, before we had the word, you know, before we had the written word in these compilations and so forth, God still revealed himself to even people that didn't know letters. Even they said concerning the disciples of Christ one time, they said, wow, they noticed that these people have been with Christ, knowing that they are not learned, and yet they understand things and able to walk powerful things. They said, well, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. And they were unlearned people. I mean, they didn't know letters. Well, you know, Jesus himself at the age of 12, he hadn't gone to any schools. He was only 12. You know, Mary and Joseph went somewhere for the annual census or whatever they do. And he went with them, and, you know, they had a large, you know, a large family, and all they had a caravan, had a lot of people. And they supposed that Jesus was in the company, but he wasn't. He just slipped away, you know. You know, he just stayed behind. And when he stayed behind, there was something. It's called the zeal of the Lord. The zeal of the house of the Lord will eat him up. That's what the prophet said. There was something that drew him to the synagogue and, you know, where all those lawyers and philosophers were. And he got in there and sat with them. You know, I mean, for 3 days, you know. And, you know, they went about a few days' journey and they realized he wasn't among with the rest of his cousins and things like that. Where in the world is Yeshua? You know, they said, well, we thought he was here. Everybody said, look for him. They all turned back looking for him. They couldn't find him. After a while, they found him sitting in the, you know, synagogue with all these, you know, lawyers and scholars at age 12. asking them questions and even answering some of theirs. And, you know, they got into, sometimes they want to debate, and he set them straight. At age 12, he hadn't even gone to any school. You know, but he knew it because of the knowledge of the Holy that was implanted in him by the Spirit of God that was not given to him by measure. John 3:34, he got it all. Now, the summary of what we are saying today is this. It is good to learn and be educated, but don't think for one moment that that's how we get the knowledge of God. You can, you know, but if you already have the knowledge of God, then that education will help you. You see, it's kind of like tricky. You know, God says, look, hear the word and receive understanding. But at the same time, he says, you can't understand it, you know, or keep it in your heart because you have no understanding. You know, so it's kind of like a paradox. He wants us to hear so we can get understanding. But if we have no understanding, then we won't hear it. You know, so what it means is, the bottom line is this. It comes from the Lord. That's why, you know, the church systems over the, you know, over the last few centuries have been trying to slice up God into three pieces and feed them to us. Now, that's not going to work, because they think, you know, naturally that, look, I mean, they look at some scriptures and they say, well, you know, God said, let us make man in our image, Genesis 1:26. So that means God is plural, you know. So, I mean, it means, well, you know, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is what they say. Now, these things, of course, are not in the scriptures. Now, there is no question that God in Genesis 1:26 was speaking to the Son of God. There is no question about it. Because all you have to do is fast forward to Hebrews 1, read the first three verses, and you see. Well, you won't see unless the Lord gives it to you. Well, that's the thing, too. You can read all the scriptures, but you won't understand them unless the Lord gives them to you. You know, it'll still be, people will still be blinded. They can read it a million times, dissect it 100 different ways, but they won't get it. You know, so Hebrews 1 says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us, you know, the fathers by the prophets, and in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom has appointed to be heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being? That's right. You know, this is the secret to Genesis 1 and 26. And you can learn it by education. It has to come by revelation. The secret to Genesis 1, 26 is found right here in this verse in Hebrews 1:3. You know, say Christ. So it's talking about Christ, who being the brightness of his glory. Christ was the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God. You know, so if, when God said, let us make man in our image, he was talking to Christ, because Christ is the one that was in his image, nobody else, nothing else. So it was talking to Christ. And it was necessary that Christ should have been there at the beginning, because he was the lamb that was slain before the world even began. And Christ himself said, look, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, before the world began, I have given to them. You know, in John 17 and 22. So we see that Christ was with him at the beginning. Well, you know, then you say, well, if you say God is one, why then would Jesus stand and be praying to the Father all the time? Well, it's again, it's by revelation. You can argue it all you want, but you'll never know it except God revealed it to you. Because no man knows who the Father is or the Son or the Son. No man knows who the Father is or the Son, but whosoever he will reveal it. So the disciples themselves, they were confused. But one of them gathered up enough courage one time and asked. He said, Lord, you know, look, you're always telling us about the Father. And that was the thing. Jesus was trying to introduce us a relationship that nobody really had. I think maybe Isaiah, and maybe one place or two, said God is our Father. But for the most part, people never thought of God as Father. So Jesus, he come and he's explaining to them all the time. So look, when you pray, address him as your Father. You know, when you, you know, when you have situation with your brother, remember your own heavenly Father forgive you also. So forgive others. I mean, he was always trying to introduce God as a Father. So look, one day, Philip finally said, look, Lord, enough already of all this mystery about you and the Father. Just show us the Father, and it will be sufficient unto us. John 14:8. And Jesus said, look, my goodness, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you don't know me? Now, this is the knowledge of the Holy. It doesn't come by just hanging out physically with Christ. The disciples at that time, they were hanging out with him. It's kind of like you can be born inside the church, sleeping in the altar, be an altar boy, be in the praise team, be even a preacher. You know, these disciples were preachers, you know, and they still didn't know who he was. And Jesus said, look, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still don't know who I am? Well, because, yeah, hanging around him physically did not give them any advantage. Had to be by the Holy Spirit. And so they didn't get it. And Jesus said to him, look, don't you know? Of course they didn't. You know, don't you know and believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And at that point, they were totally confused. It's like, look, Jesus said, look, I am in the Father. The Father is in me. This is it. If you don't believe that, well, believe it because of the works that I do, you know, and so on. And they were struggling with it. So Jesus finds out, okay, that's okay. When the Holy Spirit comes, in the next chapter, he begins to tell them, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you all these things. He will teach it to you. You may not know it now, but you will know it later on. And even the Jews, they killed him for this very reason. Because Jesus was always saying, I am my Father at one. John 10:30. And they took up stones to kill him. And Jesus said, look, you know, I've shown you many good works. You know, why are you trying to stone me for? And they said, for the good works that you do, we don't try to stone you. But for you being a man, he said, that's who they thought he was. Nah, he was a man, but he was more than that. For you being a man, in that you being a man, try to make yourself God. Because if you say you're the Son of God and you say, I am my Father, I'm one, you're making yourself God. That's why we try to stone you. And Jesus said, really? Does not even the scripture call you gods to whom the word of God came? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and we know they are just human beings, do you suppose that it is far-fetched that he should call, the son whom the father has sanctified and set apart should call himself the son of God? And they don't understand it. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, the way to get this understanding is not just to rely on first of all, you can't rely on the things which the church systems have taught us over the years, because they are faulty. And you cannot rely on what you learn in the books at school, because they are faulty. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit. So in summary, here's what we've said today. The knowledge of the Holy, which is God, who he is, who his son is, and so forth. You know, it doesn't come just by the regular education that we put ourselves through. And that education is good. But when it comes to the things of God, you know, God will have to give you the revelation. Otherwise, you'll never figure it out. You know, you'll never figure it out. Here's what the writer of the books of Proverbs, Solomon, said. You know, in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Well, one time in John chapter 3, we see the same thing. No man has ascended to heaven at any time. The only begotten Son had declared him. And so, who has gathered the wind in his fist? Proverbs 30 and verse 4. Who had bound the waters in a garment? I mean, you know, who can do these things? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell it? How did this man know that God had a son? By revelation. I mean, sometimes some things, it's like Nebuchadnezzar looking at the three Hebrew boys that were bound and thrown in the fire, and then saw them loose and saw another one walking with them and said, well, you know, I mean, we threw three people in, bound. How is it that we see four men loose, and one of them is like the Son of God. How did they know these things? Well, they didn't. The Holy Spirit spoke through them. You know, Peter didn't know, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to him that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, if you got that revelation, you have a correct foundation. Because upon that rock, that revelation of who the Christ is, I will build my church. And the church will be built upon that revelation. But that's what Jesus said. And because he's building on that revelation, the devil has tried to take away that revelation. That knowledge of the holy must come back by revelation. And when it does come back, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you. They'll try, but they won't prevail. Now we're going to pray over the room and say, Lord, give me this revelation. One time they say, evermore give us this bread. After Jesus explained it to them. You know, well, you know, he said, look, you can eat of this bread that, you know, even the one that, you know, so-called bread of heaven that Moses gave your fathers. It was not really the bread of heaven, Jesus told them. He said, look, because they ate it, but they died. He said, but look, the one that I will give you, if you eat of it, you will live forever. And he said, live forever? All these people, they are dead. And you say, live forever? Jesus said, look, if you, look, my word is life. If you hear it, you keep it, you will never die. I said, you got to be kidding. You know, are you greater than our father, Abraham, and all these things? You know, all of them, they heard the word of God, but they're dead. Jesus said, look, the one you are calling your father, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. You can read all that story in John chapter 8. And he said, now, we heard enough. You're not even 50 years old. Now you're going to tell us you have seen Abraham or Abraham has seen you. I mean, are you kidding? You're just in your early 30s. And Jesus said to them, this was the bombshell of all bombshells. And he's going to drop it right upon them and say, yo, well, before Abraham was, I didn't say I was. He's going to use the same phrase that only Elohim can use. Before Abraham was, I am. Woo-hoo. And when he said that, my goodness, they had enough, you know, enough of this blasphemy, you know, that you will use that phrase, I am. But yes, that's who he is. And they didn't, if only they knew it. And so that revelation of who he is, it can only come from the Holy Spirit. One man snuck up to Jesus at night, called Nicodemus in John chapter 3, tried to ask questions. He didn't want to be seen. And Jesus told him a few things. And he didn't understand. Well, Jesus said, well, if I have told you in John chapter 3, verse 12, Jesus said, look, if I have told you of earthly things, like being born of water and this kind of thing, and you don't understand, how are you going to comprehend when I tell you of spiritual things? It's kind of like what I was saying the other day. If you can't beat the little things, how are you going to beat the greater things? You know, when we talk about walking in faith. So Jesus said, look, have I told you natural things and you don't understand? And Jesus all the time used natural words when he preached. You don't understand. What are you going to do if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, okay, here's one heavenly thing. You chew on this for a minute. And then he told him in verse 13, he said, look, you know, no man has seen God. Remember, he said, if I've told you natural things and you don't understand, well, how are you going to understand if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, let me tell you one heavenly thing, and let me see if you can figure that out. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, standing here talking to you, who is in heaven, standing right there talking to him. And he's saying, the Son of Man who is in heaven. I told you natural things. You don't understand. Let me tell you one spiritual thing. See if you can figure it out. You know, this Son of Man who came down from heaven, standing right here, is in heaven. You go figure. That's a spiritual thing. That's a heavenly thing. It only comes by revelation. Can't figure it out, naturally speaking. And this is why the churches are confused. They say, well, Jesus is God. Why did he pray to the Father? Well, they're confused. and so on and so forth. You know, so the knowledge of the Holy, the knowledge of the Jesus, the Son of God, the knowledge of the Father, it's all embedded in Christ. It's all embedded in the Holy Spirit. It only comes to whomsoever he reveals it. And throughout all the church ages, it pleased the Father to hide it from those who are prudent and smart and educated, and to reveal it to those who were willing to be babes and to learn in walking with God. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we come full circle and brought this Walking with God series to a head. You cannot figure out God except by him himself revealing himself to you. That's it. So walking with God is understanding that comes from the knowledge of the Holy. And you can't get that knowledge by just learning books, letters, and words. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to pray. My time is way far spent. I'm going to pray now that the Lord will give us this true revelation. Hallelujah. And it comes by the inspiration of the Almighty. Now there's a spirit in man, he says in Job 32:8. Job 32:8 says, there's a spirit in man. You know, it's not just by learning. It's not by age. It's not by all these things. That's not how you do it. But there's a spirit in man. God put it right there. And the inspiration of the Almighty, which comes only from the Holy Spirit, that's what gives us understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, also the entrance of his word. But you see, it's a paradox. You can't, if you don't have understanding, you won't get that word. And the devil will catch it from you. But it's still the same word that will give you understanding by the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the Lord will give us true understanding from the word of God. May he enlighten our hearts, just like Jesus would ask his disciples. Do you now understand these things? Father, I pray, Lord, over everyone that's listening in the room today, currently, or by replay later on, that we will have true understanding from the Spirit of God. May the Lord anoint our eyes with eyes of that we may see, spiritual eyes of, that is. May the Lord give us the circumcision of the heart, and not just the circumcision of the flesh, that we may be truly sanctified before him. May the Lord cause our hearts and minds to hear the word of life, this word of the kingdom, and give us understanding so that the devil will not come and pick it from our hearts. And Lord, as we learn more about the Christ, learn more about the Lord, we are growing from knowledge to knowledge, from glory to glory, knowing more and more about him. Until we arrive at the place where we understand him. We know even as we are known. So right now, we know in part. Right now, we see in part, darkly through a glass, something whatever. But as he continues to reveal more and more himself to us, one day we shall know even as we are known. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory in this journey as we learn with you, from you, sit at your feet, that you will continue to reveal fresh and new things to the loving inquirer and the worthy seekers. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.